The latest Marquette Law School poll is in, and we're breaking down the numbers here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It surveyed 802 registered voters conducted between August 30th and September 3rd. That is in the aftermath of the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha. New Marquette poll asked if people would take a COVID vaccine. Would you? How much do you pay attention to political polling less than 8 weeks from Election Day? We're at 800-642-1234. Charles Franklin is director of the Marquette University Law School Poll, professor of law and public policy. He's co-founder of Pollster.com and the founder of PollsandVotes.com. Charles, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Starting with the presidential race, who came down on top this time when you asked voters who would they be choosing for president come November?
We're seeing a relatively tight race, but with Biden consistently ahead. This month, it's Biden 47, Trump 43, a four-point margin. And with 4 points picking Joe Jorgensen, the Libertarian candidate, this is the first time we've asked specifically about her, as she was just added to the ballot by the Elections Commission last month. But the trend on this is pretty steady. In May, it was a four-point Biden lead, up to six in June, was five at the beginning of August, before events in Kenosha, and now is at 4 points today. So pretty steady. We're consistently in this sort of mid-single-digit number. Some other polling in the state has had bigger numbers, but I'd say if you look at those other polls, you'd also see that they haven't moved very much from their previous polls to their more recent ones.
What does this consistency tell you? You know, you've been doing polling a long time. What does this say?
Well, things are a little different this year than last, than 4 years ago. At this point in 2016, we were seeing somewhere in the 12 to 15% range of people saying they were undecided or would not vote for either Clinton or Trump. This year, that number's down to about 6 to 8%. So about half as many are expressing, you know, some degree of undecidedness at this point. The other thing that's very different is that in 2016, over 20%, 21% in our last poll, said they had an unfavorable view of both Clinton and Trump. This year, it's about 8% that are unfavorable to both. And so those two elements, fewer undecided voters, and especially less than half as many who dislike both presidential major party candidates, that suggests more stability. Now, this is 2020, so you never know what might happen today or tomorrow. And so there are real world events that could shake this up or things the candidates might do to shake things up. But right now, it looks like a bit more stable race than what we saw in 2016.
As you indicate there, polls are one moment in time. At this, you know, one moment. Let's bring in a call. Steve in Sun Prairie is with us. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I was wondering if any part of the poll talked about enthusiasm. You know, I compare 2016 to today, and I didn't see a lot of Trump signs. I didn't see a lot of people being extremely vocal about their support for Trump. This year, outside of Madison, completely different. I mean, up in Lake Wisconsin, they had a big boat rally that was up there, signs everywhere. It just seems a lot different, a lot more excitement about Trump than it was in 2016.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. We are seeing, first of all, Democrats and Republicans, Trump and Biden supporters, when we ask them, how enthusiastic are you about voting in November? We're seeing very small differences between the two. So we really don't see any enthusiasm gap by partisanship or by vote choice. Now, people said they were more enthusiastic, more certain they were going to vote last fall and through January and February. After February, enthusiasm dropped off among both parties and both candidates. It's hard to know whether that was because the presidential primaries were over and so people disengaged a bit, or whether it was the coming of the coronavirus that, you know, took people's attention away from politics. But we've seen that enthusiasm building back kind of slowly since March. So we're not quite as high today as we were, say, this time last year. But we are seeing an upward trend. But I think the biggest surprise or important point is that there's not much difference between either candidate. Some national polls ask the question differently. They ask, how enthusiastic are you about voting for Donald Trump? How enthusiastic about voting for Joe Biden? And there, Trump voters consistently look more enthusiastic, though some polls have flipped that and ask, how enthusiastic are you about voting against Donald Trump or against Joe Biden? And there you see that the anti-Trump vote is pretty enthusiastic against him, but maybe not as enthusiastic as voting for Joe Biden. So that's why you see different answers about enthusiasm. For me, the most important question is, will there be a turnout advantage for either candidate or either party? And at this point, we're not seeing a turnout advantage.
Yeah, and you talk about the virus, you talk about turnout, and you asked about how people go about the act of voting. When you asked respondents if they will vote in person or by absentee ballot, what did they say?
Here, there's an interesting trend. 43%, 32% say they'll vote absentee by mail. But half, 50%, say in person on election day. 14% say they'll vote early in person. But there's been a trend there. Absentee by mail in May was at 43%. So that's dropped 11 points since May. And in person on election day has climbed 11 points from 39 to 50. Most of that change has taken place among independents and Democrats who have become less likely to vote absentee by mail, though even there, among Democrats, 47% still say they'll vote early by absentee, absentee by mail. But there are some shifts taking place. I think the uncertainty of absentee voting and the uncertainties about the post office have shifted Democratic opinion a bit on this.
And you didn't, I would assume this question wasn't in 2016. We certainly weren't in a situation
right
where we needed to vote by mail. Yeah, go ahead.
And in 2016, only about 6% of votes were cast absentee by mail, much smaller than in the spring election when it was about 60%. About 10 times the rate. Now, what we don't know is for this fall, how many absentee requests will there be? We're expecting a tremendous number, but will they be returned by mail or returned in person? Or will people change their minds between now and then and decide to vote either early in person or on election day?
Charles Franklin is here, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, professor of law and public policy. New poll is out. We're getting your questions, your insights. What are your thoughts on the economy? Is that an issue that drives you to vote? The Marquette poll has asked about COVID-19 vaccine. Would you get vaccinated? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Diane now, joining us from Barron County this morning. Hi, Diane.
From Iron County?
Oh, Iron County. It says Barron here, but Iron. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
And counties matter in voting, certainly. Diane, go ahead.
Well, I see Trump's signs, and I know a lot of people said that they would feel uncomfortable putting a Biden sign out because the Trump people are very intimidating. I bought a Biden T-shirt, and people are like, you're going to wear that? And I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't put a sticker on my car because I would think that it might get damaged. So signs are not an indicator of enthusiasm.
Well, Diane, let me ask you this. Do you keep an eye on polling, on the national and Wisconsin poll that comes out here?
Yeah, but knowing what happened on the last election, I'm still nervous.
Well, Charles, you know, what can we glean from how people, you know, from yard signs or anything like that? Because that, too, is a way, I suppose, of surveying how people feel.
Well, I think that, you know, it's a visible display of opinion. And so you can certainly see that in a neighborhood, it's predominantly one side or maybe none of the other side. And so I think those are interesting things. I certainly enjoy driving through towns in the state. I'll often get off the interstate and just drive the country roads and go through smaller cities and towns. And you can bet that I pay attention to what signs and what ratio of signs there are. But I'll put on my pollster hat and say that the signs themselves are a display from involved people who are ready to make that declaration public, but it doesn't give you a good indication of what the people think who don't have yard signs out. And that's what we're trying to do with polling, is to give everybody's opinion an equal chance of being included in our poll, so that we're representative in a way that yard signs and other public displays necessarily can't be representative.
We're breaking down the new Marquette University Law School poll with its director, Charles Franklin. Did anything surprise you about the latest Marquette poll results? Do you relate or disagree with how your fellow Wisconsinites answered the questions about politics? What are your thoughts on the economy? Is that an issue that drives you to vote? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Charles Franklin here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're breaking down the new Marquette University Law School poll just under 8 weeks to the November presidential election. We have the poll's director, Charles Franklin, as our guide to the poll that probes everything from views on the presidential candidates, attitudes conserving COVID, to views of protests over police brutality and the Black Lives Matter movement. Jeremy from Racine called in, couldn't stay with us, Charles, but wants to know if there was polling done on down to local politics. Jeremy says there's a lot of things happening in Wisconsin that people may not be aware of, and it would be interesting to see how Wisconsin residents stand on local issues. Can you help Jeremy out there with what you surveyed locally?
Right, and unfortunately, no, I can't really. We do a poll that's representative of the state statewide, but that means that within any single city or municipality, even the biggest ones, except for Milwaukee, we just simply don't have a large enough sample size to be able to represent the opinions there. One of the unfortunate facts about polling is that if you need to know something about opinion in a particular city, you really have to design a sample of that city specifically. And unfortunately, that's expensive, and not very many organizations have the wherewithal to do that kind of work.
Well, how did your survey respondents feel about the job Governor Evers is doing? What did they tell you?
There we see a real drop-off this month. In early August, he was at 57% approved, 37% disapproved, which had ticked up, actually, from the month before. But this month, he's fallen to 51% approval, 43% disapproval. That takes him back to where he was in January and February, before the coronavirus epidemic hit. Once coronavirus hit, his approval soared. It was 65% in March, for example. And it's been working its way down. But this month, a six-point drop from early August is, I think, a kind of notable drop. His coronavirus approval also fell, but fell by 4 points, not as much as the overall job approval.
What did you find when you asked about how comfortable people were with schools reopening? What did you see there?
Here, an interesting pattern. In terms of the whole population, not very much change. 43% said they were comfortable reopening schools, 51% not comfortable. Not much change from a month ago when it was 45-48. But among parents of school-age children, there was a reversal. A month ago, 53% were comfortable, 45% not comfortable. But now that's flipped completely, 44% comfortable, 54% uncomfortable. So there has been movement of the people most affected by the school opening, those with school-age kids.
Yeah, so change in public opinion there within families. You also asked respondents if a vaccine for COVID-19 became available and it was free, would they take it? Explain what you're asking there about COVID.
Well, this is a complicated issue. You do have both concerns about the vaccine as well as concerns about the political process of approving the vaccine. So there's a lot of moving parts under this. We saw 35% saying they definitely get the vaccine and another 29% probably would get it. But 15% probably not and 19% definitely not. So about two-thirds would get the vaccine, probably, and about a third wouldn't. But there was a substantial party split on this. 54% of Republicans would definitely or probably get it, but 76% of Democrats would. And on the wouldn't get it side, 43% of Republicans probably wouldn't or definitely wouldn't. And half that, 22% of Democrats probably or definitely wouldn't. And that reflects partisan differences in concern about the virus and how serious people think the virus threat is that differs between Democrats and Republicans.
Can you compare this to anything? Have you looked at this before?
No, we have not asked, unfortunately, about things like childhood vaccinations or other things. So I'm sorry to say I don't have a point of comparison for it.
Talking with Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, new survey of registered voters is out. Taking your questions on it at 800-642-1234. Matt from Wausau emailed us to say, why only 802 people surveyed? We have millions of Americans.
Yes, and the question is, if you want to know whether your soup is flavored right, do you drink the whole bowl to figure it out, or do you just take a spoonful?
I think you've been waiting
it?
to give that analogy, Charles. I can just feel it.
You feel like I kind of over-prepped for that answer?
I tell you,
but it's because of an entire career of answering, and Matt's question's perfectly reasonable. How do you represent a big population with a small group of people? But the soup analogy is really good. If you just pour your pepper and seasoning on the top and don't stir it and just take up soup off the top, you're going to get a biased sample. But if you season the soup and stir it and then taste it, that's almost exactly the analogy to the random sampling that we do that gives every phone number in the state, whether it's a landline or a cell number, an equal chance of being selected into our sample. And that's what makes a scientific poll something that's based on statistical probabilities rather than just taking the top right where the spice is.
Crystal clear, and I will never forget the soup. So thank you for that answer. I want to look very seriously here at Kenosha and Black Lives Matter. And between this poll and the last one you did in early to mid-August, there was the shooting by Kenosha police of Jacob Blake, followed by many nights of political unrest. What did you learn from this survey?
What we found was that there was almost no opinion change about the protests, about Black Lives Matter, or about the police before to after the Kenosha events. But there had been substantial change in opinion between June and early August pre-Kenosha. So in June, 61% approved of the protests. That fell to 48% in early August and was at 47% now, post-Kenosha. With Black Lives Matter, 59% approved or had a favorable view in June, fell to 49% in early August, and is exactly the same, 49% now. Finally, the police are just a little different. 72% favorable in June, went up to 76% in August, but now has fallen 3 points to 73%. And we see big racial differences. African Americans and Hispanics became much more negative towards the police following Jacob Blake's shooting in Kenosha. And even among white respondents, there was a drop of 3 points in favorability to the police and a rise of 3 points in unfavorability following the shooting. So that's the one element where across the population we see large changes among people of color, smaller changes among whites, but movement in the same direction following the video of Jacob Blake's shooting.
How much more polling will you do before November 3rd?
We'll have two more out before the election.
So
54 days to go, I believe it is.
So you're staying busy, I would imagine.
Just a little bit.
So what kind of analysis will you do on polling numbers after the election? You know, is there a look back?
Well, what we do is mostly I sleep in December, to tell you the truth. But in the coming year, we'll more focus on state politics because we'll have a new budget being proposed in February. We'll have the legislature in session. And if President Trump wins re-election, we'll see the beginning of his second term and how that differs from now. And if Joe Biden wins the election, we'll have a new administration. So we'll turn our focus really to the future starting next year rather than trying to look backwards to this year's election.
Charles, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Always fun.
Charles Franklin is director of the Marquette University Law School poll. We have a link to the poll results at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, we check in with a pair of voting advocates about how they're helping people register amid the pandemic. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.